Really good to be here and to see all of you. Hello, Stefan. I can see you. It's so good to be here. My name is Emmanuel. I'm not Daniel. I'm a twin. That's my brother's wife, Amma. He preaches, so you might mistakenly think it's Daniel in front of you. But I'm a twin, and we happen to have moved from Obo. We now live in Vasa. I was in this church with my wife, and we worshipped here, and we served here just like most of you do. But it was time God called us to Vasa. So we are there now in Vasa. And it's true. So Kamala is my pastor, and she, most of you know, is not a hidden thing. She wants us to talk about it because she is such a faithful woman, a God-fearing woman. I've never seen any woman like that. So she had a brain tumor, and she was operated here. She's now home. Greetings from her. I visited her last week. She was doing excellent. She was talking, and she was saying, Emmanuel, I can see this way. I can remember somewhere. And I said, I don't think so, because you are saying all the words that you need to say. That is the power of God. But a lot of prayers have been said. And that said, I want to really say something. And, you know, Pastor Stefan is a good man. I never realized how much pastors do. And let me tell you, this is not the first time Kamala has had cancer. She had cancer some 3-4 years back. She fought it, and she was completely healed. This is a different one. So I am the chair of the church board. So like the highest decision-making body of the church in Vasa. And when the pastor is sick, the responsibilities fall on the church board to make sure the church is running until the pastor is back. And I can't tell you how much I've grown to respect pastors. You underestimate the work they do. Just yesterday, as I was preparing, I have to make phone calls to make sure there will be someone doing the coffee, to make sure there will be someone welcoming, to make sure there will be worship, to make sure there will be everything that happens in church. We need to really pray for the men of God, the pastors that we have, and cherish this moment that we have with God. Because I've traveled all the way from Vasa here, I hope you spare me to spend a little longer time with you. Right? Is that okay? You can't expect me to have just 15 or 20 minutes. That would be so unfair. It's quite a long way to travel here, and I have a lot to say. Today is an open church, so I wouldn't go deep so much into Bible, but I will try to touch on some truth. So I'm speaking to us on the topic, life and faith, or God, life. I want to reflect with you. And before I read any scripture, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. I know you are here, moving in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. I know that you are here right now with us, healing people, healing us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. I know that you are here, lifting burdens, strengthening the weak, and telling us it's okay. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without you. And whether we believe it or not, God, you are God, and you'll be forever God. Thank you for this moment that we have. I pray that you come, open our hearts, our minds, that you have a space to enter into the door of our heart. I pray that, Lord, anyone sitting right here will not leave this house the same. Not because we are saying, but this is your word. You will do something in your heart. Please, Holy Spirit. I know you because you've done it in my heart. You've done it before with me. And I pray that if there's anyone here who it is their first time in a church, in a gathering like this. If there's anyone here that feels like God is so scary, the Bible is not true, I pray, may you reveal yourself, your true self to them right now. I rebuke you, the devil, you have no place here right now. We know you're always sneaking in and making sure the world lands on rocks. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Command you to leave this assembly right now. And may the peace of God rest with us as we go into the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll start off with a testimony. I've not shared it in this church. I did not prepare to share it. As Mina, thank you very much. As you led worship, I was standing there. Holy Spirit just told me to share it with you. So I'm going to share it with you. How I became a Christian and how I am in Finland today. So it's basically 5 minutes of my life story. I was born in Ghana, in West Africa. So please don't call me African Lion. I'm Ghanaian. My daddy and mommy were Christian, but they were not Christian. They were just churchgoers. When I was a child. And indeed, my dad belonged to what we might call today a cult. My daddy has been in the Freemasonry before, when I was a child. And there were places in the house he wouldn't let you go. No one, not even our mom. That is the house I grew in. When we went to church, it was basically praying around and just joking and nothing serious. So I did not know God. When I was 14, 15, I remember my twin brother, Daniel, the one that you know very well. We'll go and stand, when church was going like this, we'll come and stand by the window and we'll be laughing at the people praying. In those days, people would pray in tongue, especially the Pentecost church. And we'll be laughing and say, oh, look at those silly people. They are so stupid. What are they doing? I'm telling the truth. This was my thought then. 14, 16 years. I thought Christianity was stupid. That it didn't make sense. Why would they pray like that? What kind of language is that? And even the pastor knew that we were very, really stubborn, the twins. That we would laugh at God. That we did not care about Christianity. Fast forward. We got baptized in church. We were even singing in the choir. But still had not had encounter with the Holy Spirit. We were just churchgoers until we got to college. Then that is when God really spoke to us, touched us through one man of God who is now living in Canada. We were just walking one day after class. He was also going somewhere. He did not even live in that city. He had just visited campus. He saw the twins pass, and he spoke to one guy and said, do you know the boys walking? And he said, yes, they are my friends. He said, go and tell them I have something to tell them. This guy comes over to our dormitory in Ghana. You live in a dormitory. And said, oh, I have a visitor, an adult, who wants to tell you something. I said, what? We don't know this person. And he said, you let's go and listen. We go, and the only thing this gentleman tells us is that, twins, I know this might sound crazy, but it might be a prophecy. God loves you. He has plans for your life. You might not believe it, but I just want to tell you because that's my assignment. Go pray. Think about it. I'll be available. He gave us his number, his contact, and said, contact me if you want to talk. This is how our journey and my journey with God started. Somehow, I don't understand what happened. Out of stubbornness, we decided to give him a try. And let me tell you, we were very clever. I had scholarship all my life. That is for a fact. My twin and I, we knew that we were super clever. Because our colleagues would tell us, we were teachers. Literally, we would teach our colleagues in high school, middle school, every university. If you ask this, it's not a secret.
We were very clever in class, so we were also very proud. The idea of going was to challenge him, to test whether he knows what he's talking about. Let me tell you, I've done taekwondo. I've read all kinds of magical books. You don't have idea. I wouldn't have time to tell you about my testimony. Literally, it came to a time, if I will hit you with my hand, this, there will be a crack. This is not a joke. It happened before my own eyes. And it wasn't because I was so strong, it was magic. I read magic books. How to become powerful. How to be strong. We accumulated all that wisdom. I read a lot, even when there were no books in my home. But God changed my life. We went to this gentleman. We started arguing, challenging, asking what is possible, why this, why Christianity, why that. It did not take long until Holy Spirit touched us. The rest is story. I wouldn't continue for time's sake. Why am I telling you this? The most important part is that we're still going to church until university. I still did not believe in prophecy at university. I still did not believe that all of these gifts in the Bible were true because I was a skeptic. I wanted to see evidence before I believed. So one time, my twin and I, as usual, we were helpful. We are not only helpful in Finland. We've been helping in church since we got converted. So during summer, instead of having summer break and staying at home or traveling, we'll go. My wife's brother knows that. We'll go to a village in Ghana and preach the gospel. During one of those, my twin and I, our assignment was to show movies. So we're moving from city to city, just showing them movies about God. Remember one night when all of the students, university students, had gathered in a room to pray, a lady we did not know wasn't our friend, during the prayer just prophesied over the life of my brother and I. Do you know what she said? She just called out our name. And that is what changed my life and changed our belief in God. She re-emphasized or reinforced the thing that man had told us some years back. This woman repeated exactly the same. She said, Emmanuel and Dan, God loves you. He's going to use you. And what she added that even surprises me today was that the second part of the prophecy, she said, Daniel and Emmanuel, God would use you like he's using you today. You would travel from one country to another country. You'll be traveling the world. Really? University? How possible is that? Our daddy, our mom, we're not rich. How are we going to go abroad? How are we going to travel the world, apart from Ghana? To cut matters short, 2 years from the prophecy, we got a chance to go to UK. And since then, to cut the story short, I cannot tell you how many countries I've visited as I stand here. If you would, on the average count, it's like every month I travel. I know many countries. As you led the worship, I stood there and I was weeping. The picture, as God reminded me, the picture just gave back. How powerful is our God? How amazing is His grace? That someone like me, and excuse me if I weep, I've never wept while preaching, can stand in front of you and preach, and not just preach. As I speak, at the end of this month, I'll be in Ireland. How could a poor boy in Ghana, who did not believe, would love, be here preaching, and not just preaching, living the prophecies that came upon his life? Brothers and sisters, if you don't believe God, if you think God is a joke, I want to tell you, that is the lie of the devil. You are just being deceived. And today, I want to tell you, how the world, how the devil is using everything around you to deceive you. And especially the young people, I want to tell you, don't waste your life. There's nothing in this life for us. There is nothing. All I have is God. And let me tell you something before I start and read the Bible. When I went to visit my pastor, Kamala, in her home and we started talking. She said, Emmanuel, you know what? Because I was preaching about this in church. And she said, I remembered the scripture and the sermon you gave in church. And she said, immediately the days when I had the surgery, I could not remember very well. I couldn't see very well. I was literally powerless. She said, the Bible was lying by the side of my bed, but I could not read the Bible. I would have loved to read the Bible, but I couldn't. He said, in those moments, the only thing that I lived on was the Word of God inside me. The Word of God inside her was what she lived on. And you hear when we tell you to read the Bible, you think that, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when I tell you something, you might not believe me, but let me tell you something. I know by heart the scripture. Whenever I'm preparing to read, to preach, I don't go start opening the Bible. The scripture just drop in my head, straight, direct. Because some time ago, when I was, those years when I gathered all the power and the zeal, invested it in God, I was reading the Bible. And today, when I'm in trouble, a scripture will just pop up and I'll say the scripture. And something will happen that I do not understand. This Bible is powerful. It's true. It works. It's not magic like you're made to believe. It's not silly like you're made to believe. And if you believe and God lives in you, you see the reality of it. I can't tell you how many times and how many the moments where a scripture would just drop out of my heart and then I will speak it out and something miraculous will happen. Now, let's move on to the sermon. This is what I meant, but you have to give me some time today. I hope, Seth, and that is okay. I would read. The topic I'm talking about is life and faith. And I'll talk to you about two things quickly. One is the vanity of life, the meaninglessness of life, or the valuelessness of life. And then I talk to you about growing, how we grow. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the verse 2-8. I will take it in English. If you want to project it in Swedish, that would be wonderful. So, this is a book written by Solomon, the king himself. So listen to what Solomon has to say. Chapter 1, I read. Meaninglessness, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. I'm sorry, I'm used to King James. Vanity of vanity. Excellent. Thank you very much. So I'll read that because this version. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. On its circuits, the winds return. This is a word from a man. If you don't know, Solomon had everything that we today count as success. All the indicators he could check. He was a king, very powerful king. He was wealthy, very extremely wealthy king. Third, he had wisdom. He himself says that he has been the wisest until his time. And that is a fact. I don't know if we've had anyone like him since he died and went up. The wisest king. This is a powerful man talking to you. So if you can listen to anyone, you have to listen. And he's saying that vanity of vanity, all is vanity. This life, brothers and sisters, that's why I shared the testimony, has nothing to offer us outside God. Nothing meaningful. You know, one of my ambitions, as a child, I had always hoped and I knew I would work hard. In fact, one friend told me, I don't know if there's another prophecy, we'll live to see. I was so committed to this thing that one friend told me once, Emmanuel, you will die immediately you reach this goal because it's so much important to you that God wouldn't see the reason why you should live after that. You know what my wish all my childhood was? That I will become a professor. This had been my childhood dream. Today, I am a professor of education. I got that 4 years back. What is the meaning? It is meaningless. Today, I don't see any meaning in it. All that it brought me is what the scripture said, toil, hard work, tiredness. I am tired all the time. That is all it has brought me. And I feel really stupid and misled. This is what Solomon is telling you. Everything you think about this life, that is important. Schooling, work, home, becoming important. When you get there, you see that it is useless. And there is no man that exemplifies this better in the Bible than Zacchaeus. We are not going to read that. But if you want, you can read in your spare time. Luke 19, the verse 1 to 10. You can project it so that people see. A very successful man. A tax collector, very wealthy, but did not know the meaning of life without Christ. Lonely, short, struggling with life, until he decides to go see what is it that people say about this man called Jesus. So Bible says he climbs a sycamore tree, he sees Jesus, and that is the message for you. If you do not believe God, how is it that Jesus is passing by Jericho? He did not know this man was looking for him. Bible says, in the moment Jesus walked close to the tree, he looks up. He calls him down. He says, today, I'll be with you in your house. We shall dine together. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, he's right here. If you're looking for Jesus, if you want to know something, if you have questions, he's here to answer. It might be your Zacchaeus time. He's passing by this way. And he would spot you wherever you are. But let me tell you how the world deceived you and I today. How it is doing that. And I'll refer you to modernity. Modernity hardcore. Today, number one, individualism. Individualism. And number two, the spread of knowledge. Don't be confused about that. You see, even as a child, you are trained in your society to be very independent, to rely on yourself. Some of you start sleeping in your room very early in your life, and you learn the culture that I am independent, I am on my own. This is the world we live in. I'm not saying something is wrong. All of these practices have basis. They are good. Science has taught us that they work, and they work. But I want to reveal to you the word of God and how society today has changed our perspective of God. So today we are very individualistic. It's all about you. It's your responsibility in life to succeed or not to succeed. It's all about you. Whatever you become is all up to you. And we are taught that culturally from childhood that it's all up to you. It's not about someone else. It's not about God. If you can make it, you do not need any God out there to make it. If you work hard, you will succeed. This is the phenomenon in the world today. So much so that even the laws, international laws, only consider the individual and not collective. It's all about your protection as an individual. They recognize you as a being. All institutions work in this paradigm. The individual is at the center of the universe. Do you know what that is doing? Denying you and I the opportunity to think outside that and know that there is something bigger than you and I, and that is God. We don't think there is something bigger than us. There is a purpose that is bigger, that we can be part of, that we are part of a universe. We are just a subset of it. And once we lose this, we become very self-reliant and we think that that is all it takes. It's all about me, what I do with my life. That is part of the world order. It's intended to dissuade us from God. To take your heart and my heart from God. I'll ask you in your spare time to read a poem. Who has read that poem? By John Donne. The British will call him John Donne. He's a Brit. He was a cleric. He became the Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. He wrote a beautiful poem called No Man Is an Island. You can write that down and go and look for it, by John Donne. No Man Is an Island. And this poem was written coincidentally, I'll come back to that in my second point, around the age of enlightenment, when the world had discovered that it's all about us. We can do anything we can do. Like in Genesis, when the people thought that we could build a tower to the end of the earth, heavens, and we can do whatever. Individualistic thinking. We can do whatever we can do. He writes in the days of enlightenment, and he says, a human being is not an island. You are part of the continent. So beautiful, a poem you should read. He said, I am part of the puzzle. If I am removed, the world doesn't hold. Is this the way we think about the world? No. We are made to believe you're not part. It's all about our world, it's us. And I want to submit to you that that is part of the world order, because God did not create us that way. Let me give you a typical example. Who is here who doesn't have a friend or can tell me that I've never had any need to have a friend in my life? Is there anyone like that here? It is proven. Psychologists are proving that through research. Every one of us need relationship. We all do. It is in us. And that is what God is. And that is what God made us. To relate to others. And to relate to Him, God. This is why the individualism idea is not of God. Because God wants you to relate to others, to nature, and to Him, God. This is in your DNA. There is nothing you can do to change that. Praise God. I'll move on for time's sake to the second point about modernity and the spread of wisdom or knowledge. And I'll invoke a bit of history so you would understand what I'm talking about. You all have read in history textbooks, especially in Europe. The nice thing about Europe is that they spread Christianity every part of the world. Africa, the Americas, Latin America, Asia, Europe, spread. This all happened during a time, the 15th and the 16th century, they call the Renaissance, when they discovered art. And following that immediately, 16th, 17th century, they call that the Age of Enlightenment. When they discovered science, following that immediately in British is the Industrial Revolution. This moment in history changed how knowledge and what we think about the world dramatically. Today, as I speak to you, there is a scholar, he's still alive. He's called Richard Dawkins. Do you know this man? Very popular, intelligent, who often go on TV and all places and declare that God is a lie. There is no God. My brothers and sisters, there is God. Even the quantum physicist, there is a law called quantum gravity. Do you know what? Physics have made sure that they tell us that there is no God. The earth happened by accident due to some intensification of heat, and then it broke out. They've managed and done all that. But you can do your own research. It doesn't take a scholar to do this. Go and Google about the Big Bang Theory. What is today the most influential theory about how the planet we live on was made? And even Wikipedia will tell you that they do not have all the answers. All the answers is that somehow the world was formed. But who was the one behind the formation? So the question they ask is, who designed the designer? That they cannot answer. Is there plain blank? No scientists have found an answer. From Einstein to today, no scientists have found an answer to it. How the world was made. And if you go and read Genesis chapter 1, the verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Simply meaning, before anything was, there was a God who planned everything and decided everything. Again, let me prove to you what physics agree is that this world, this earth that we live on is comprehensible or is intelligible. Meaning that the world was not formed by accident. Everything works systematically in a way that someone planned it. That they agree with religion. That's the only thing they agree with Christians, that this planet functioned in an order that it can be by accident. Someone might have planned it. But who planned it, they don't agree, is God. That is the only place we don't agree with them. I want to submit to you that God planned the earth. It's not by accident. So in Genesis, God created the heavens and earth. Now, in Finland, this might not sound as it should to you, because I know that people here are very practical. If you buy a house, you do some part of the renovation. Or even some people build their own houses here. But in my culture, I understand the scripture. What do you do if you want to build a house? If you don't know how to build, what do? You have to hire an architect who will plan it. You have to ask for permission. You have to buy a land. You have to buy the wood. You have to buy everything. You have to make sure a lot of planning has gone into that before you can build a house. It takes many months to build a house. Now imagine, God did not do any of that. He did not need an architect. He is self-sufficient. He did not need to consult any carpenter to say, come and tell me how to build this board here. Bible says he just made it. He spoke and it was. That is the God you serve. An all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-sufficient God who doesn't need anyone to do what he's doing. He's all-knowledgeable. Now, the verse 2, if you read, and this is where it fascinates me again. It says, when he created the heavens and earth, there was chaos, disorder. And do you know that physics, they believe that the earth was formed out of disorder. So again, something that is biblical. But they don't agree, this is God. And Bible said, out of the order, God spoke. He brooded. Bible said, he brooded over the earth, and the earth began to have shape. Now, I usually speak to Christians. Today, people are worried over families, over wars. If you think that the wars in the world and everything we are seeing means that the world is coming to an end, that is okay. If you think that that makes the world so bad and so confusing and so unpleasant to live in, I'm telling you that it's not anything before God. Because the God that created, he created the earth, and the earth was in a confused state. And he knew how to handle it perfectly without any problem. That same God, what we are seeing today as a confused world full of wars, diseases, he's just sitting there and everything is under control for him. He knows how to handle confusion. He's the master architect. That's the God we are talking about. And I'll say a few things again. How many of you watch this TV program called National Geographic? Anyone here
Very good. I have someone. It's my favorite. Okay, Stefan, you also watch Nice. I love it. And I don't know if you watched it, but recently, do you know that archaeologists, historians, who the people that dig down to find the truth about the past, do you know that archaeologists today have discovered and now believe that the flood in Noah's time happened? Did you see that? People that are not godly, that hate, do not say anything, they don't believe God, are now going back and saying the Bible is true because they found traces of flooding. And then you sit here and challenge the Bible. They know that we know the flooding happened in history. They've now discovered that it's true. They have now discovered that Nineveh, Jonah, existed. They have now discovered that Nebuchadnezzar existed. The city he built was true. Everything is recorded in this Bible. Why are we arguing that we don't have a God? How can all of this be by accident when intellectual people that are atheists, they do not believe God, now are discovering truth that are already recorded? And you see, what I like is that some of them are confused. When they discover the truth, they say, well, this confirms what the Bible says. Even though I still don't know, I can explain how that happened. Brothers and sisters, I just wanted to share with you that if you're sitting here and you doubt the God that you serve, you have every reason to believe God. Now, let me share with you the last thing before. Is there a clock? Yes, 4:05. Spare me some 5 minutes and I'll be done. I will talk to you about growing. We have learned about God and the fact that He is God. He's in charge, He's life, He's everything. Growing. It's God's desire that we grow. Look at that boy, Nana. He's 7. In 5 years, he will be like that. In fact, I think I saw one of the young girls when I was here 6 years ago. She was this little. I saw her today and she doesn't even, that's your daughter, right? She doesn't even recognize me. She's so big now. I was like, wow. This is a natural phenomenon. Everything grows. We all grow. This is part of our DNA. That is how God made it. And so let's read the scripture quickly so that we'll briefly talk about it. The point I want to make is reproduction is a function of growth. Reproduction, I'll repeat that. Reproduction is a function of growth. We need to grow. We are made to grow. And you have to grow as a human being, both physically, but also connect to some spirit, spiritually. This is why people that don't know God do all kinds of things. On the internet, everything pops up today. You go on the internet. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. If it comes on the screen, I'll read that. I prefer the King James. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed. That is what I like. In which is their seed. Each according to its kind on the earth. This might be abstract. You might not understand it. Let me explicate it to you. What God did when he created at this point, and if you read further, he did that with everything that he created. What it simply means that God created the flower, the mango tree, and what God did is that he put inside the mango tree a seed that has the capacity to reproduce itself. So growth is a function of reproduction. Let me break it down so we understand what that means. I have a 4-year-old daughter that I look at who will become a woman. She's now today only 4. Do you know that inside that 4-year-old is the seed of kids, children? So I only see a 4-year-old today, but with growth, when she grows and becomes a woman, she would reproduce. She has the capacity inside her today as a child, but she cannot give birth today. She's only 4. It will take growth for
for her to reproduce. This is why God made us put that mechanism of growth inside of us naturally. Does that make sense? This is the same spiritually. We have to grow. And we need to grow. And every human being, whether we believe it or not, it is within you to want to grow somehow. This explains why there's all kinds of self-help. Today, there's all kinds of, I hate to call them, yoga, all kinds of things, self-help. This is how we can get well. My God. If God is on your side, who can be against you? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If the Lord be on your side, who can be against you? Would we really need all of this self-help today? We wouldn't. If the true word of God is inside of you, you become like a living water that flows. You prosper, you grow, you reproduce. I want to challenge all of us. The instinct in you that wants some answers, you want relationship, you want friends, you want a partner, you want all kinds of things, you want wealth, you want prosperity, you want wisdom, they're all naturally put there by God in order to help us learn to relate to other people, to nature, and to Him, God. And your desire to grow is a natural part of it. It's only in growth that you can reproduce. If you want to continue, we'll continue. But we don't have the time. Because God said He's giving all of us some potential gifts. They are inside of us. This will only reproduce. They will become real with growth. So, like I mentioned about the prophecy, I know some of you are sitting here, especially the young ones, you'll be surprised. The power of God inside you, prophecies, touching people and they're getting healed. We don't see that often in Finland, do we? Where you touch people, hey, and then there's instant healing. I have seen it, and I've done it myself. There's a lot of power in God. It is inside you. You need to grow, and how do you grow? Three things. We have to humble ourselves and know that God is God and learn this word. This is how we grow. We have to be part of a fellowship like this. Fellowship is important. Being here, sharing the word, having coffee is part of how we grow. We cannot say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to belong to anything. My goodness, what do you use all the time that you have for? And then you say, I'm bored. Who made you bored? Why don't you come here and fellowship and talk to other people? To learn and grow. Then people complain, there's so much loneliness in heaven. I'm saying, all those people complain, let them come to the church and talk to us. You are sitting home and you're complaining of loneliness. This is what the world makes you. And then you kill yourself. Commit suicide because you're lonely. Come on, the devil. This is his plan. That's the Bible says. He came only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is what is happening. You can see it all around. When you can go to places and meet people and share the word, drink coffee and be happy and go home and sing hallelujah and dance in your kitchen, you are now stressed and super stressed. May God touch you. May He reveal Himself to you. May you see the power in His word. And He says in His word, He's standing at the door. He's knocking. If you would open the door, He will come in right now as we speak. And He will dine with you. Zacchaeus climbed a tree and God spotted him. He did not call, Jesus, Jesus, I'm on top of the tree. He did not do that. He just had to climb a tree. Yours might be just changing your thinking and saying, like I did, stupidly, let me give Him a try. Let me go and challenge Jesus. It was all part of His plan. And today, I can't tell you how happy I am that I know God. I have colleagues at work. They sometimes even say, Emmanuel, why are you always smiling? And I tell them, it's because I have God. You see, I have something. You don't understand. Because they know that I am very stressed. They know that Emmanuel is going through stress at work because there's so many things happening that stress him. But when I walk out of my door, hello, how are you today? And they cannot understand me. That is the power of God. I'm stressed, but he lifts it. He gives me the confidence it is going to be okay. That is the power of God. And I want to challenge you, if you're here and you don't know Christ, if you're here, you've never been part of this church or been part of any church and you want to pray, you can put up your hand. There are prayer people around. I'm here as I pray. We'd love to pray for you. If you want to talk after church, I'll be here. We can have coffee. But it's been a pleasure to be here. To end, when you go home, I want you to look for the song by John Lennon. You know that, right? Imagine. Who has listened to that? It's such a powerful music. He said in one of the lines, just imagine even heaven was not true. You don't lose anything by believing today. But you lose a lot if it's true and you don't believe today. You go to hell. That is someone's music. I challenge you. If for nothing at all, you have to believe that there is something bigger than we are in this world. And we are all yearning for that thing. Let's close our eyes.